Welcome to Mainstream Modular, a podcast presented by Girdon.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to a podcast brought to you by Mainstream Modular. I'll be your host for today, Gabrielle, and I am thrilled to be joined right now by none other than Frank Pasker, who's principal as well as technical director of the LA division at TCA Architects. And today we're going to be talking about a great example of a successful homeless housing project in Sixth Street Place. So today we're going to dig into that as well as some other projects that Frank has worked on to kind of see the common denominator on what the successful design principles were that contributed to the major success of these projects and others. So here to enlighten us on the subject as well as provide any and all industry insights is Frank. So Frank, welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So to start off, go ahead and give our audience just a brief bio on your background. So how did you start? What experience do you have in the industry? What led you to the Sixth Street Place project?
Yeah, so I started my career here in Los Angeles in 2001, working for a small company, the Westside. And starting from then, I was already involved in doing affordable housing projects. As a matter of fact, at that office, I did two projects on the very same block that Sixth Street Place is on right now. So I've covered three of the four corners of the block during my career. I'm mostly working on a multifamily mixed-use project. So not just affordable, also market-rate, high-rise podium buildings, but the affordable housing sector has been really one of my main focuses. And we have been doing a lot of those projects at TCA since I started there.
Well, thank you for sharing a little bit on your background. You're clearly have an illustrious career and a lot of experience. So what have you found time and time again to be some of the key considerations when designing housing specifically for what we're talking about, for the homeless community?
Yeah, there's some unique properties when it comes to affordable housing. It's community, durability, and accessibility. Housing for homeless is creating a new community for people who've been living out in the street, a community they can feel safe in, and they can interact with people without kind of threats or anything. Durability is for the maintenance cost. Obviously, owners of affordable housing projects are long-term holders, so they keep the projects for a long time. And therefore, we have to design with this aspect in mind. And the last of the three is basically the accessibility. Oftentimes, when people come off the street, they do have disabilities. Oftentimes, that's what they got them on the street in the first place. So we have to provide for those people special needs and accommodate that in the housing project.
So those are just a few of the considerations out of many, but what are some of the solid strategies or design elements that are important for creating a sense of dignity and also empowerment for residents of homeless housing? So just what are some of examples of those types of elements, but also ones you specifically infused into the Sixth Street Place project?
Yeah, basically, once somebody gets off the street into a housing, it's really important for them to gain a foothold back into society. And the buildings have to provide areas where they can get a sense of space, a sense of home, a sense of privacy, and also access to services, professional training, and also quality recreation space. So on Sixth Street, for example, we have several community spaces for different uses. We have a large community room for meetings and celebrations. We have smaller rooms for training and therapy sessions, and also multiple offices for support workers. And there's also ample of open space in the courtyard that's being overseen by the building's corridors in order to provide protected outdoor activities and opportunities for the residents to gather. And there's also common laundries on several floors of the building to further encourage communication.
So we've talked considerations and strategies, but what role does community engagement play when designing homeless housing? How do you keep that in mind and ensure that the design meets the needs of both the residents, but also the surrounding community?
Yeah, that's a very important factor for each of one of those projects. On the Sixth Street Place, for example, the project was located at ground zero of the homeless crisis here in Los Angeles. It is replacing an old underutilized warehouse, and we're putting a vibrant community there. The needs for the residents and the community are aligning here in this case, since both aim at re-engaging the homeless population as part of society and also reintegrating them into civil life.
Well, what collaborations or partnerships do you typically engage in when in the process of designing homeless housing? Because collaboration and partnerships can be so very important to projects of these caliber. So who is on the team? Who do you need buy-in from? What does that team process kind of look like?
Yeah, when you're doing homeless housing, it's actually a more involved process than regular market rate housing because of the extra layer of accessibility and the special services provided. Oftentimes, the funding agency is dictating many of those. So communication with those agencies is very important, as well as early communication with the billing officials to make sure that the project moves quickly through the system. You know, sometimes cities have a very complicated process to get projects approved. And because we are in the homeless crisis, we have to make sure to get those projects moved along the process as quickly as possible. And then oftentimes there's also neighborhood outreach required to get buy-in from the current stakeholders in the community into the project.
Well, there are plenty of project challenges just on its own when putting together a project of this size or of this type. But more specifically, what are some of the potential challenges or obstacles faced with this project that we're talking about now when you're designing homeless housing, and how do you come up with strategies to overcome them? And in terms of that, is security and safety one of those challenges? If so, how do you approach that issue when it comes to creating the design?
Absolutely. Yes, security and safety are actually two of the most important aspects we have to address. In this case, we are located at the heart of the homeless community in Skid Row in Los Angeles, and the residents need to have a sense of home and safety. Basically a place where they can leave their belongings, leave their stuff without being afraid that someone will take them or even harming them, which unfortunately happens oftentimes outside. But yet the design should not turn its back on the community outside. Right? The goal is to create a place that has eyes on the street, to communicate with the street and to discourage unlawful activities. And the apartment units also need to provide a level of safety. So we did not have units on the ground floor. And we also don't have any climbable balconies near the ground floor.
Well, there's certainly a lot of considerations at play there. And I want to talk more about the specific design solution that was used on 6th Street Place. So what modular design solution was used in terms of from an architect's perspective, just the learning curve that was involved there and how modular specifically contributed to the success of this project?
Yeah, basically modular has like the unique property of working within a module and then using that module as a basis of design. So the main parameters is really finding out what those parameters are, the sizing, for example, that we that is regulated by transportation constraints, and then, of course, the routing of your utilities within the building. So the learning curve was very steep, actually, on the agency approval side, because they were not really that versed in approving modular projects. So we got together with them, with the city, and we did talked about which agency approves what. As you know, the modules themselves have to go through state approval versus the overall building has to go through city approval. So we got together, we developed a matrix with the city, basically, so that each party knew which site they would inspect and look at and plan check so that we can streamline the whole approval process.
Taking this whole conversation into account, what are some of the major key considerations that you want to kind of pinpoint and share with anyone considering designing their first modular homeless housing project?
Yeah, the designer needs to be aware of the dimensional parameters and how those modular units on those components go together, because this is what ultimately drives the design process early on. And if somebody disregards that and just designs something out of their mind without looking at those parameters, that can quickly lead to a cost increase in the transportation, or it even might be impossible to transport those modules and you've got to redesign the project.
Well, in what ways can the design of homeless housing and the modular delivery method contribute to the larger goal of ending homelessness? This is a big question, but in what ways do you find that?
I think it has a major role once everybody is more used to the process, because modular housing provides for one of the quickest field installations of housing units possible. And I don't think that any other construction method can keep up with that. Like on 6th Street, the setting of the modules was just done in 5 weeks. That was it. Right. So just imagine 5 weeks to put those units together. And then afterwards, you have to, of course, waterproof the envelope, connect all the utilities, put up the roof and all those things. But I think the modular housing delivery process is the most efficient method to address the homeless crisis and to house people quickly and in dignity.
Well, wrapping things up here, Frank, what is one unique or overlooked insight or even lesson you feel like you've gained from your experience in designing homeless housing that you think would be valuable for others in the field to know?
Yeah, during my career so far, I've been working over well over 2,000 dwelling units and all kinds of markets. So market rate items, affordable houses, and so on, different places, different types of construction. And in one way, homeless housing is no different than any other form of housing, because it's going to be the home for somebody. Somebody needs to identify with the place, and they need to get their sense of place with the building, and they got to be able to identify with it. I think that's the most important thing. We don't just create off-the-shelf housing and just put it there and put people in. It's really something that they have to own and have the heart in. And that's why designers need to be aware of that. And they got to build a positive identity around each of the projects that will help foster the sense of home and also the sense of community. Like, we always want to contribute with elements like an edible garden, a barbecue area for outdoor events, fire pit where just people can sit around and talk and tell stories. Because those items are really needed to transform the people into kind of a more of a stable community, which I think is the most important aspect here in homeless housing.
Well, that wraps up the conversation for today. So thank you to everyone who joined in on this episode, and also to Frank for sharing some very valuable information regarding the Sixth Place project and how it came to be a success. So it was a pleasure to have you on the podcast.
Thanks for having me.
Of course. And as always, for those listening in, if you'd like to learn more, please visit GurdonModularBuildings.com and look for this podcast wherever it is you get your podcasts at. I've been your host, Gabrielle. Thanks for tuning in.